Hey, this is Rob Levin, and you're listening to the world's greatest marketing radio program. This week, we're going to be talking about what else? The wild world of the internet. One more W, and I'd have a pretty cool joke there. But alas, I couldn't think of another W. Anyway, there's all kinds of activity that goes on the internet, and it ties in, of course, to your other business activities. Unless you have a strictly online business, which means that you have less of a burden of what to consider focusing on. Now, you know, if you've been listening to the program, that we at Imprinzic strongly believe that the internet today forms the foundation of any kind of marketing and advertising program. Pretty much that's because your customers are going to use the internet most likely as their primary resource for looking for the products or services you sell. And they're really, especially in light of the news that the post office is going to be ending Saturday delivery, what more of a message could you get that, you know, things are changing? And, you know, it's a little bit sad. I've said two you knows, and I don't think I've said a single you know previously, but that's because I'm all choked up. You know, the idea of mail service ending on Saturday is the end of an era. It's indicative of the fact that technology marches on, and your business had better be marching along with it or you're going to be in trouble. So let's talk about the internet and marketing on the internet. And I'd like to start by talking about UX. What the heck is UX? Well, UX is one of the industry acronyms for user experience. And obviously, we talk a lot about SEO and online marketing and how to get people to your website. But once you get them there, it's shocking. I mean, honestly, shocking. I'm shocked how many websites don't do a good job of delivering a good user experience. And if the user experience of your website is not optimal, you're going to have a hard time getting these anonymous visitors to become prospects that you actually can reach out to and hopefully turn into a customer. So I want to talk a little bit about that. There's a lot of jargon that goes on around there. I tend to say, for instance, that a site that isn't based on a content management system is a hand-coded site. And that's an oversimplification. But the bottom line is that if you're not using a system or something that automatically takes care of formatting your menus and your page layouts and so on and so forth, it's very likely that your website won't quite look the same and won't quite have the same navigation as people move around it. And that's a serious unforced error, something you just cannot allow any longer. Now, the nice thing about a content management system, we particularly like WordPress more for its SEO potential than for its content management, but that's kind of critical. Anyway, some sort of content management system. If you don't have one, you're probably going to need to hire a professional designer or have one on staff to accomplish the same thing that these automated systems provide. So, having said that, I just want to touch a little bit on another piece of that, and that is, and I've talked about it before and I'll talk about it again, is your website mobile friendly? If your website isn't mobile friendly, you've got a serious issue because more and more people are using smartphones or tablets, most notably, I guess, would be the iPad, to basically do almost all of their online activity. That would include checking their email, going on Facebook, and most importantly, searching for the products and services you sell and visiting your website. So it's another consideration. And there are a couple of options for mobile-friendly websites. You can create a special version of your website that is served to a customer or that a customer sees when they use a mobile device. Or you can have your website designed on what they call responsive website design. And that basically means that it sees what kind of device you're using and reformats your standard web pages to look better and work better on a mobile device. And one other thing I want to mention about mobile, and we'll get into this more in a future episode, But a mobile device that is a phone, i.e. a smartphone, or there are now tablets that have phone capabilities, or any kind of ability, even an iPad using certain add-on devices can make a telephone call. You really want to make sure that people can click to call. And that means, of course, you're going to have some sort of capacity to take a call. But we'll talk more about that. But that's more and more a situation because, especially with a mobile phone, it's very difficult to fill out a form. So people want to call, and you want to make it as easy as possible. Okay, so now let's segue over to one of my favorite subjects, SEO, search engine optimization. And let me say, and I've probably said this before too, most people think of the process of getting people to their website as SEO, or at least they know that term. But really, SEO is just one part of what it takes to get people to find your website. And we call it online marketing as a sort of broader category. But let's focus on SEO. And I want to talk about just a couple of things. The first thing I want to talk about is external linking. Wow, external linking. What the hell is he talking about? No, or otherwise it's like, oh, external linking, what a headache. That's right. External linking is the sort of, I don't know what you'd call it, but the activity that haunts many, many businesses when it comes to trying to optimize their websites to bring in prospects, customer traffic, potential customer traffic. And external linking goes way back to the beginning, really, of the internet. In fact, it's kind of lost at this point, but the real breakthrough function of the internet that kind of set it apart from other early online systems was the ability to interlink, or to create, you know, links, as we call them. Actually, they're called anchors, but what are you going to do? Nobody knows that term, right? Except for me, but that's why I earned the big bucks. So these links allowed a person's website to link to somebody else's website. And generally speaking, these were personal sites or educational sites or whatnot. Business really wasn't too much of a part, believe it or not, of the internet when it kind of kicked off way, way back around 1994. Wow, that's a long time ago. Anyway, it's that ability to do linking which allowed people to sort of explore the web. And of course, there are search engines. Google is the big one nowadays, as we know, but there's a history of them. Alta Vista used to be very big, and there was one called Dogpile, and gosh, who knows, there's so many. Of course, there's Bing. Yahoo actually is no longer using that or delivering that sort of function. They use Bing, but there are a lot of different search options that are out there. And they all use the number and quality of external links that comes to your website as part of what they judge or weigh when they decide what websites they're going to show on the first page and the top positions when someone does a search. Now, unfortunately, there was a kind of a very broadly used technique of external linking, which is commonly called black hat SEO or gray hat SEO, where people would just create hundreds or thousands or even tens of thousands of links to a website just to bring up the volume and to rank higher on search pages. And Google finally had enough and said, okay, no more. And that happened over the last couple of years. And when that happened, many, many websites that had kind of made a deal with the devil, if you will, found their search page rankings dropping like a stone. And so now there's a little bit of confusion. It's like, wow, okay, external linking is bad. No, that is not true. You still need external links. Ideally, what Google would like to see is what you would call organic links. That is, links from customers, review sites, other businesses, perhaps, other websites that are out there that think that your content or what it is you have to sell or what it is you have to say is worthwhile and link to you. Now, that doesn't mean that you pretty much have to give up doing active external linking and just hope that people link to you. But it does mean that you have to do your external linking in what we would call an ethical and forthright manner. That is to say, within the confines of honest marketing or advertising, or simply trying to spread the word about what it is you do. After all, if you don't believe in your product or service, or don't think it's going to add value to people's lives, you probably shouldn't be in business. So there are different strategies for doing external linking, but some of them are, of course, commenting on sites that are related to your business or service and putting a link to your business there, blogging, guest blogging, different kinds of advertising, as long as it's rational and not spammy or black hat, as it were, and all different kinds of things. And we'd be more than happy to talk to you about the puzzle of external linking and how to approach it. And related to that, I also wanted to delve in a little bit to another big issue for optimizing your website, and that is localization. And external linking plays into this to a degree. Localization is a puzzle. And it's not really easy to do, but it's kind of critical. Google is very focused on giving people who are searching for products or services search results that are relevant to them on a geographical or local basis. Now, if your company is regional or national, that's kind of another issue, but I'm just going to focus today on a business that truly is operating in a specific area. And so when we talk about localization, you need to find ways to create your site so that when someone's searching for it, there's a logical reason why Google would say, hey, this site has good content, offers the relevant product or service or opinion or information on that product or service, and they also operate in the local area. So obviously some of those things would be, you know, somewhere on your site, there ought to be some content that talks about the communities you serve. Now, the problem is there's a couple of different ways to go about that. And depending on your budget and on the way you do things and really on the way Google looks at things, you can run into a little bit of trouble. For instance, let's just say you serve 30 different towns in your area. Well, if you create a page for each of those towns, nothing wrong with that. It's a little bit labor intensive, but that's fine. But if you have the same content on each of those pages, Google looks at that and goes, this is all the same stuff. I mean, their algorithm is pretty good, but it's not, it's not a genius. So it's just going to take that value that they use, that particular value of content that they use to say, okay, what page am I going to serve here? And they divide that by 30 because you have 30 pages with pretty much the same content. Now, another option is to create a single page that says, these are the communities we serve. Well, that's great, except Google will look at that and say, well, it's just a bunch of towns on this page, ho-hum. So there are techniques that you use, and one of the things that we do at Imprinsic and we think is quite valuable is blog about different things that relate perhaps to the communities, in this case, that you serve, and then we link to that page from a blog post. So, you know, there are techniques and strategies and things that you can use to get localization to work for you. And that's something you really ought to consider. Anyway, that's our show for this week. I hope I've shared something of value. And if not, please don't ever listen again. No, please do. Come back. Come back next week. All right. Thanks for listening. And we really look forward to hearing your comments and questions. So please send them our way. Our website is imprinsic.com. And you can check out all kinds of cool content, including Matt Steffen's ever popular and valuable blog on marketing. And I slip in there sometimes and do a little blogging myself. So please visit us there, and we'll see you next week.